We're going to jump into our Stronghold series. This is the last week. Last week, we're in our Stronghold series. And if you're here today, and perhaps you don't even know what that term is, and you go, I'm not really happy I came to church today, because they're already throwing out a word that sounds weird. It sounds spiritual. And I don't even know what a stronghold is. I mean, I watch MMA. Is it that? Is it a Kimura? Is it an armbar? What is a stronghold? Let me help you with that. What a stronghold is it's the sin in your life that gets you again, again, and again. It's the sin in your life that you don't just need forgiveness for, but you need freedom from. You don't just need forgiveness for, but you need freedom from. That's what a stronghold is. And I want to say that this, that all of us have a sin that we are more inclined to doing. Hebrews says, lay aside the sin that so easily ensnares us. That means that every person, the person in front of you, behind you, beside you, every person deals with a sin. And a sin that they are inclined more to do. That's what he says. Do you know, even me, your pastor, every one of us are inclined towards a certain sin. And I want to just open up with you today and share with you what I've learned. I used to have a stronghold. Did you know that? Everybody just, that's when the oxygen sucks out of the room. When your pastor said he used to have a stronghold. I used to have a stronghold. And I couldn't get over it for anything. Until I learned these principles that I'm going to teach you today. I had a stronghold, and this is a weird stronghold. This might not relate, but I'll try to make it relate. I had the stronghold of false guilt. Now, false guilt, there's a difference between false guilt and true guilt. False guilt, though, feels like true guilt. When you run a church this large and you have so many demands, I begin to live with guilt every day of my life. I begin to wake up every day of my life saying I didn't do enough. I didn't meet that need today. I didn't visit this person that died today. I couldn't do it on the calendar to have to marry them. Or I gave this energy to ministry and now my family. I didn't show up at the ball field. I have the more people, the more expectations, the more guilt I would have. And for years, I woke up in misery, in absolute misery with guilt. It bound me. It had me bound. And eventually, did you know that it eventually broke me? And I came to the point where I said, God, I can't. I can't do it. I quit. Not ministry, not this, that, but I quit trying. I quit. And I said these words. I said, Holy Spirit, if you don't do it for me, I will never be able to do it. I quit. I can't do it. If you don't do it, it won't happen. I always live in this. And there was some verse that I went to over and over. And this is what I found, and I went back to this verse over and over because it made me feel better, because Paul wrote this verse, and Paul was one of the greatest Christians ever to live, and Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament, and Paul struggled with something. And if Paul struggled with something, it made me feel as if he's better than me, maybe I'm not that bad. And so I would read this over and over. This is Romans 7, verse 15 through 20. He says, I do not understand what I do. Anybody ever felt that way before? For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. You ever felt like that? That was me. It says, and if I do what I don't want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that no good dwells in me, that is my sinful nature. He's saying, I know that. But look at this. He says, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. Oh my gosh, does that sound like anyone in this room today? That was me. I said, I have the desire to get over this, but I can't do it. And he says, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil that I don't want to do, look at this, I keep on doing. Today, I want you to know that God has already given you victory over that stronghold, and I'm going to show you in just a moment. So here's the title today that we're going to look at. Why is it that we are called victors, but yet we struggle to live in victory? Well, in chapter 7, the verses we just read, notice this, that he says, I or me, referring to Paul, get this, 40 times. He says, I, me, I. And then he says the word law, which those of you knew, the law of Moses, the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments you probably heard. He says, I, me, 40 times. He says, the law, 20 times. So, I, Paul, the law. I, Paul, the law. I, Paul, the law. No victory. He said, I'm trying. It's me. The law, the law, the law. No victory. I can't figure it out. Now, what was the key for him getting over his strongholds? Number one is this. I can't in my own power. If you want to write that on your friend's t-shirt, the bald head, put it in Evernote, take a picture, whatever. Number one is I can't in my own power. Look at verse 15. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. He said, I want to, but I don't do. I can't in my own power. He says, but what I hate, I do. Paul knew the law better than anyone. Knowledge was enough. It was not enough to give him the power to perform the law perfectly. Yet you've got to come to the point like I did in my Christian life and where I was on the golf course that day where I said, I quit. I can't do it on my own power. This is where Paul finds himself. He says, why do I do the things I don't want to do and the things I want to do, I do not do. And look what he says about himself. He says, oh, what a wretched man I am. Anybody ever felt like that? Everybody should say amen. I did. Oh, what a wretched man I am. Here's Paul, the greatest Christian ever, saying, I can't do it. I am a wretched sinner. He said, I can't do it in my own power. Something has me bound. Now, what has Paul bound? What has him from keeping what Jesus says he already is? Well, he tells us, Romans 7:23. He says, but I see another law in me. But I see another law at work in me. Paul says, wait a minute, there's something inside of me. There is a law inside of me waging war. Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. Waging war against the law of my mind, making me, look at this, a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. Now, doesn't that not connect with you or me? It does, doesn't it? You ever feel like a prisoner? The Bible says you're free. And I say, no, I'm not. I'm a prisoner to this sin. I can't get out of this sin. I can't get out of this stronghold. I'm a prisoner. Paul says, whoa, whoa, whoa. I figured it out. There's a law in me. There's a law in me, and it's waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner. I'm a prisoner to the sin at work within me. He said, the law has me bound because I can't live up to it, no matter how hard I try. It's imputed sin is what we call it in seminary. It means from Adam, once he sinned, we have been passed down and we are all sinners. We have sin running through our veins. No matter what we do every day, we still have our Adam suit on. That old man, that sinner that cannot live in victory. And you can't live in victory by discipline, by motivation, by inspiration. You cannot do it no matter how hard you try. The Bible says this in Romans 3:9-10, all people, Jews or Gentiles, that's us, the Gentiles that are not Jews, are under the power of sin, is what it says. Is under the power of sin. That's what it says. And then it says this, no one is righteous, no, not even one. Then it says this in 3 verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Then he says in 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. What we earn because we can't follow God's law perfectly is we earn death, eternal death. Paul says, listen, 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 guys, the law is good, but I'm not. He said, the law is perfect, but I'm not. No matter how hard I try to be good, the law just shows me that, well, I'm just not that good. Paul's saying, by nature, we are married to this law that makes demands on us that we can't meet, no matter how hard we try. Romans 7:7, he finally throws up his hands. He says, then what should we do then? What should we say? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. He said, nevertheless, I would not have known what sin is had it been for the law. He said, I wouldn't have a measuring stick to say this is good or this is bad. Paul's telling us if it wasn't for Mr. Law, we wouldn't have this. We wouldn't know what's good or bad. Now, here's what Adrian Rogers says, who I learned much of this content for the Stronghold series. He says it this way. He says, here's what most of us don't understand, that a lost man cannot keep the law of God, and neither can a saved man by himself. He's saying we all can't do it. But catch this. This is the good news for us Jesus followers. When Jesus died, we died with him. Galatians, look at this. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ, meaning I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The law died because Jesus, He passed all the law. He fulfilled all the law, and he died, and we are now in him. And he says this, and now the life I live in the flesh is by faith. It's by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So it says, I don't live according to the demands of the law. I live like I'm in Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus perfectly obeyed the law. And I don't live now according to my flesh, but by my flesh through faith that his life was enough and it overcame the law. And now he says, this is how it's done. We became dead to the law by the body of Christ. We became dead to the law. Yes, by the body of Christ. That's worth celebrating, isn't it? His death had our name on it. His burial had our name on it. His resurrection had our name on it. So you've got to get to the spot where you say, I can't. And then you're going to have two paths. Either I quit, and that's almost where I was. I quit, or I can't in my power. But number two, he has in his power. He has in his power. Jesus has overcome sin in our flesh. Jesus has already done it. It says in the Word of God that he was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. He was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. That's why we can say we are more than conquerors, because we're in the life of Jesus and what he did for us. That's why the Bible says we are the righteousness of God, not because we're so good and we're so righteous. We're filthy on our best day, but because we're seen as in Christ, as if we've lived according to the life that Jesus lived. That's why the Bible says this. This is powerful. As he, as Jesus, as he is, so are we. The Father now sees you in Christ, meaning you are seen as if you've lived the life that Jesus lived. You are not seen as your friends on Facebook tell you this, or you're not seen as even your own thoughts that I can't measure up or I'll never be enough. If you are a Christian, you are seen through the eyes of the Father like his son Jesus, like you are in Christ. This is why we do not fight for victory. We fight from victory because Jesus has already beaten every sin, conquered the grave, and says, you are in me. This is what he said. Oh, I wish I could get you to see that. I wish I could get you to see how the Father sees you. You'd no longer live in defeat. Oh, I wish I could get you to stop seeing with sight and see by faith. Stop seeing with your mere mortal eyes, but see and walk by faith that you are in Jesus, that he lived for you, and that you, if you could get that, you'd never be the same. God is proud of Jesus. That means God is proud of you. Remember, he said, you are my son in whom I'm well pleased. Well, if we are in him, then you are his daughter in whom he's well pleased. You are his son in whom he's well pleased. You are in him. He does not say, shame on you. He says, shame off you. You're in Jesus. And you see yourself in Jesus in the light of his life and how he walked perfectly for us, fulfilling all the laws, not in your own effort. You will be set free. Paul says this, what a wretched man I am. He said, what a wretched man I am. I can't follow the law. Look at this. But who? He says, who? He says, someone's got to save me. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And then he gives us the good news. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Christ Jesus. This brings us to our last point if we're going to have victory. I can in my power. He has in his power. He helps through the Spirit's power. He helps through the Spirit's power. Look at Romans 8, 2. Because through Christ Jesus, pump the brakes, time out, we found another law. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free. You're no longer a prisoner now. You're set free from the law of sin and death. He said, I have found there's another law in me greater and higher than the law I was bound to, and it's the law of the Spirit through Christ Jesus. When he puts his Spirit within you, you can rise above, and you are no longer bound to the law, but now you have the law of the Spirit of Christ Jesus within you. My wife taught both of our kids how to read and write. You know what she did? She would take her hand over those little bitty baby's hands, and they would trace it. They would trace the little letters over and over. Now, who was doing the writing at first? My wife. She was doing it for those children. But after a while, over and over and over and over, she began to lighten her hand and back off. And now the kids are writing on their own. That's what Jesus says he does for you with the law of the Spirit. He said, I'll do it for you. I've already done it. You're not measuring up. But I want to teach you how to live in victory on your own. And I'm going to do it by putting my Spirit within you. And as you live by the law of the Spirit, you will begin to do this. This is why Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who is working, look at this, in you. He is working in you. He gives you desire and the power to do what pleases him. You know what the thing inside of you, that law that you want to do good? That's the law of the Spirit. He says, I don't just leave you with the want to do good. I give you the power to do good. Most people fail the Christian life because they don't understand it, that the Spirit of Jesus lives within them. The Spirit of Jesus lives in you. And he gives us, through the law of the Spirit, the ways to have victory over this. It'd be like this. It'd be like that big old airplane. You ever read an airplane? It's tons and tons and tons of pounds. And then you load it up with luggage. You women bring up six luggage walking through there. Because you know your luggage is over 50 pounds. So you put your stuff in your husband's. And then you got them carrying makeup bags and all kind of stuff. You carry this as your carry-on. And we walking in here with pink bag. You do it too, don't you? We got one bag, you know. We got a pair of underwear and a toothbrush. And we can survive, you know what I mean? That plane, tons and tons of pounds, is bound by the law of gravity until another law takes over, a more powerful law. When it takes off down that runway with enough thrust and enough of tilt and enough power, a different law takes over. It's called the law of aerodynamics. And it lifts it above the law of gravity. And now he's flying with the law of aerodynamics. That's what happens when you say, I can in my power. He has in his power. The Holy Spirit will help me through your power. You get liftoff. You're no longer bound to the law of sin and death. You have a higher law, the law of the Spirit. That's why he says in verse 2, the law of the Spirit who gives life, he sets you free from the law of sin and death. He sets you free. You rise above it. Now, we've already seen Paul say, I and me, over here in chapter 7, verse 7 through 24, he says, I and me, 40 times. He says, the law, 20 times. So he says, I, me. He says, Paul the law, Paul the law, Paul the law. And he gets no victory. No wonder. Oh, but then when we turn over here to chapter 8, in chapter 8, we see why he gets victory. Because he mentions the law of the Spirit of Christ Jesus, 20 times in chapter 8. No victory here when I'm trying on my own to meet the law. But victory through the Spirit of Christ Jesus. Over 20 times he mentions it. Look at Romans 8, 1 through 2. He says, therefore there is no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. Meaning if when you sin, if you say, God forgive me, you are not held accountable. He has forgiven me. No condemnation. Who walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death, has made me free. Now, your question is this, as we wrap things up, how do I continue to live by the law of the Spirit? I mean, that's good and all, but how do I continue to do it? I'm going to give you these really fast because we've already talked about a bunch of these this series. You stay saturated in the Scripture. Saturated in the Scripture. I cannot preach enough to keep you living in the will of God. This is an appetizer. R.A. Torrey says it this way. He says, if we are not feeding on the Word, we are not walking after the Spirit, and we shall not have victory over the flesh and over sin. He's saying it's impossible without the Word. We've got to do it. Number two, we got to stay in prayer. Remember, weapons are not carnal, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Strength is in prayer. Prayer makes you aware to the ways of the enemy. Number three, surrender to the Holy Spirit's guidance. Every day we have a choice, live after my flesh or live according to the Holy Spirit. Every day we ought to say, Lord, I surrender to you, Holy Spirit. Lead me today because I will mess things up royally. Please lead me in every decision. You've got to say, Holy Spirit, every thought, every action, every decision, I want your will, lead me. Then finally, we are secure in his sanctification. Another Christian term. Sanctification just simply means that if you are in Christ, if you are a follower, he's making you more and more like Jesus every day. He's making you more and more like Jesus every single day. Now, if you have been in a sin for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, this is going to take some time. Sanctification happens little by little, but I want you to know something. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. On the authority of his word, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He says that he is conforming you into his image. That's what sanctification is. You can trust that he's making you more and more like Jesus. Paul says, who can save me from this body of sin? Thanks be to Christ, my Savior. Therefore, there is no condemnation of those who belong to Christ Jesus. But I guarantee you, if you get to this point where you say, I can't, he has, and he'll help me, that he will begin to work in your stronghold in your life. Now, if you're here today and you don't know God, I want to be very frank with you. This sermon was for people that already know God, that already have a relationship with God. But I don't want you leaving here without knowing how to have a relationship with your Creator. God is crazy about you. He loves you. God is holy. God created you to love you. If you ever wonder, why am I here? Here's the reason. God created you to love you. But something happened. Sin got in the way. He's holy. He cannot have a relationship with sinful mankind. He cannot overlook our sins lest he not be holy no more. And it's broke his heart. Those of you that have children, that you're far from your children, you're separated, there's a strain in the relationship. You know how bad that hurts? God looked at you and said, this hurts. This breaks my heart. I created them to love them, and sin has gotten in the way. What must be done? And Jesus says, I'll go, and I'll live the life that they can't. I'll be the only one that can fulfill the law. And I'll live perfectly in a body just like theirs. And then I'll go and I'll die for their sins. You have to judge sin. So judge me in their place. And he took the sins of the world. And he laid down his life and he died in our place. So that we could be in Christ. So that God could look at us and our faith in Jesus. And he could apply the perfect life of Jesus to our filthy tab and set us free. And then he went to a grave and he didn't remain dead. He rose from the grave just like he said he would, just like he predicted, just like he said he was. He rose from the grave. He proved that he has the power to forgive you of your sins and give you eternal life. Jesus is not a way to heaven. He's not one of many ways to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And he proved it by his resurrection. If you don't know where you're spending eternity, I want to challenge you with every bit of urgency in me, with every bit of passion, with every bit of love in me. Do not walk out of these doors today without knowing Christ. Eternity is too long to be wrong. 99% sure is 100% lost. Do not leave here. I beg you, I urge you. If God is knocking on the door of your heart, come to Jesus today. Come to Jesus today. If you want Jesus in your heart, need your sins forgiven, and want to have heaven as your home, come to Jesus today. I was reading over in Revelations this week about the great white throne judgment. You know that the great white throne judgment is where he will summon all the sinners who hate God, all the self-righteous people who substituted their own goodness, human goodness, for a relationship with Jesus. There'll be procrastinators there, people that said, I'll come to Jesus another time. I'll come to Jesus when I get right. There'll be people, church members there whose names were on a church roll, but their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There will be people there that have denied Jesus and rejected him, and every sin will be revealed. Nothing will be hidden. And you know what their sentence will be? And this is scary, and I don't say this is scary. I tell you this to tell you the truth. Their sin, it says this. It says, anyone not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, I don't say that to scare you. I say that to love you. I say to love you so that you can get salvation and you can be saved and you can miss that. A lot of preachers don't talk about the reality of hell. I believe that is absolutely the most unloving thing you could ever do. I love you too much. I want to tell you there's an afterlife. There's a real heaven, a real hell. And here's the deal. These sinners will be judged according to their works, and their sentence will be severe. They will be at this great white throne of judgment, and they will be eternally doomed to hell. But I want to tell you something. I'm not going to be standing at that great white throne of judgment because I've already settled out of court. Jesus took my sins court on the cross at Calvary. And he put my sins there and he judged my sins. God judged the sins of Brent Purvis on the body of Jesus. And the Bible says there is now no condemnation who are in Christ Jesus. If you've never given your life to Jesus today, I'm going to give you the opportunity to settle out of court. Don't put it off. Come to Jesus today. So in just a moment, we're going to do something. I'm going to lead you in a prayer where you can ask Jesus in your heart. Where you can ask Jesus in your heart. And then I'm going to do something. I'm going to open up the altar and we'll put back up that PowerPoint. If you're battling a stronghold, put down your pride. Come down to the altar and just say those things and say, God, I need your help. And I believe that breakthrough is on the way. Let's go to prayer together. Father, thank you so much for your word to us today. Lord, my prayer at this moment is for that person that is unsure of where they'll spend eternity. They're unsure and that scares them. They know they're here for a reason. Oh God, give them courage. Give them boldness like never before. If you want to have Jesus in your heart and you want to have heaven as your home, simply say this prayer in your heart and you believe on it with everything you've got. It's nothing magical about this prayer. This prayer is just a guide. It's all about your faith in Jesus. Are you ready? This is the moment you've waited your whole life for. Say, Father, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. Would you please forgive me? I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe Jesus rose from the dead. I believe Jesus is Lord. Come into my life. Save me. I want a relationship with you. And Father, I want to give you something back. I want to tell you, I will never be ashamed of you. Not after hearing what you did for me. I will never be ashamed of you. And this is my promise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.